You're listening to the Journey Podcast. Join us today for a thought-provoking episode as we explore the profound connections between astrology and mental health. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end. This is the Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In our exploration of the intersection between astrology and mental health, we delve into how the wisdom of the stars can offer unique insights into our emotional well-being. We discuss the potential of astrological practices to shed light on personal challenges, strength, and growth opportunities, fostering a deeper understanding of ourselves and our paths to healing. We also examine practical ways in which astrology can be integrated into mental health practices. By aligning our lives with the rhythms of the universe, we uncover new avenues for coping with stress, enhancing resilience, and navigating life transitions. Abby Ludus is an astrologer helping you reconnect with nature through astrology, astronomy, and sky gazing. Astrology is the ancient study of the influence that celestial bodies have on human life and earth events, the search of meaning in the sky. Abby uses astrology as a tool to deepen your understanding of why you are the way you are. Abby shares this knowledge with you so that you can harness and unlock the potentials and strength of yourself whilst bringing an understanding to how to best leverage the more delicate aspects of your spirit. Let's meet Abby Ludus. Hi, Abby. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because astrology and mental health is such an intriguing topic for today's conversation. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much, Petra. I think you're absolutely right. It's probably not something that you would think of in the first instance when you think of mental health, but yeah, it's absolutely a place that you can look to and discover more.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting, and I'd love to know more. So for starters, do you want to share a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing and how you've come to do what you do today?
Yeah, thank you. I have quite a long and probably fairly interesting background, and I guess we could start back when I became interested in mental health, perhaps from a more, you know, positive goal setting type space. I was an elite athlete, and so I was constantly working on my mind and my mindset and how I could optimize that and be the absolute best that I could be. It's something that I've been so passionate ever since, you know, because I experienced so many great results being an athlete and using the power of my mind. And so I did that sort of throughout my teens, 20s, and even into my 30s. And I just saw how powerful our minds can be. So I think that's where everything started. I used to work in Melbourne in event management in the city. And, you know, I was competing as an athlete and I had a major injury. And so I felt like I had kind of reached the end of the road. And this is, you know, when I started experiencing the other side of mental health, you know, all of a sudden, all the things that I could, or the things that I loved to do felt like it had been taken away from me because I was no longer able to do anything physically because of the injury whilst I was going through the rehab process, which was quite a long process. And so it was at this point where I kind of, you know, decided, well, I've got to do something new. I've got to change. And I've been competing as an athlete for as long as I knew. And I felt like I had done anything, but I absolutely hadn't. So I did all the rehab and I went back to competition for that one last year. And then I decided to pack my bags and quit my job and buy a ticket. And I ended up traveling over to South America. I went to Buenos Aires and I had a plan that I was going to travel for maybe 6 months around South America. I ended up heading up to Canada, getting a visa and living there for 3 years. And it was really there where I sort of started to take a deep dive into, you know, self-help and really personal growth and development, I suppose. And when I got to Canada, and also through this traveling journey too, you know, I sort of landed myself in a position where all of a sudden you go from a place where you have all your friends around you, your securities, your family, to a place where, you know, nobody knows you, you can walk down the street and yeah, it's almost like you can have a revival of your life if you would like. And so I guess that's what really happened. So I spent 3 years over there. I ended up coming back to Australia and I pursued an interest in life coaching. So I was, you know, now starting to expand on this love for mental health. And mind you, I had my fair share of going through depressions through this time as well. You know, I think it's something so common that we face when we just feel like we're out of control. Fast forward, I couldn't find my feet in what I was doing, where I was based. I decided to move, you know, out into the mountains, back to like the snow, which is where I was in Canada. And my life kind of continued to evolve from there. I was working as a remedial massage therapist. And so something that I really saw with clients is that they would come and, you know, they would want you to fix them. And, you know, I just had the back of my mind when I had been through my major sporting injury, realized that actually, like, we fix ourselves, we have to heal ourselves. And that's why another reason why I became, you know, so passionate about working with people to heal their minds and know that they actually have control over, you know, their life and they can regain control. I went through another revival. It was probably at the beginning of 2020, I lost a best friend and, you know, it really sort of sparked this new revival within me. Of course, we had pretty severe lockdowns here in Australia and it gave me a lot of time to spend with myself. And I took a deep dive into, you know, my personal growth journey. I went back to my, you know, tapped into my creativity and the things that I loved as a child. From that is where I found my interest in astrology. And I really took a deep dive. I started learning, listening to every cast I could find. And then, you know, I started reading charts and I just really loved it. I loved it so much that I just wanted to do more in this space. And so I did then have an opportunity to go to be able to move locations away from where the severe lockdowns were. And I knew that 2021 was going to be another year of lockdown. So I took an opportunity to move out to the outback and work as a tour guide. And then I started to build in the astrology and start to build my business on the side. And now, you know, I still dabble in the tour guiding, but astrology is a beautiful space that I just feel so drawn to. And it just comes with so much ease. And I love working with people to, you know, help them uncover, you know, what, you know, a lot of people find it such a confirmation when they have a chart reading to really understand why they are the way they are. So it's a beautiful tool to really confirm what, you know, what we know about ourselves.
Wow. I love your journey. And I'm just listening to you moving all across the world and experiencing different places. So what an amazing journey you've had. And you've gathered a lot of experiences for your life and for putting those into how you work with clients. So thank you for sharing that. Now, for those listeners who might not be familiar with what we're talking about with astrology and the charts, do you want to give a brief overview of what is a chart and how do you read that and how do you make that and kind of what is astrology sort of in a nutshell when we talk about that?
Yeah, great question. Great question. Because I think astrology is starting to make a bit of a revival. And so we're sort of seeing it more and more. You might see the posts pop up on your social media or the memes flying around. Essentially, astrology, if we break it down to its very simplest form, is a correlation between the celestial movements of the planets, the moon, the sun, and the energy that is here on Earth, and a correlation of the events that occur on Earth and the celestial movements of the planetary bodies. So that's in its very simplest form. And if I can explain it in another way that might make even more sense, we think of the sun that revolves around the earth. And when the sun comes up, we mimic that behavior as well, right? So when the sun comes up, we also rise. When the sun sets, it's the time that we go to bed. This is in its very simplest form. This is astrology. So when I talk about charts, essentially I'm talking about the natal chart. We can talk about many different types of charts. We can have a chart of what is happening right now, but I'm talking about the person's natal chart. And so this is essentially a snapshot. It's a moment in time, the time that you were born, the time that you took your first breath, and those energies, you take a snapshot of the sky. Where were the planets? Where was the sun? Where was the moon? In what signs were they? And from there, we can analyze and look at the chart. Astrology, I like to call, is a language of a lot of symbology. So the planets are given symbology, they have meaning. And this is all derived, like, you know, way back in the second century BC. So it's been around for a long time. The planets I like to describe as our archetypes. And in fact, when I describe astrology or someone's natal chart, I like to give the analogy of a stage play. So let's do that. If we were looking at a stage play, we have our characters. So these are like the different planets that we see, the different characters that we have in our personality. You know, we might be playing out in a role as a colleague or as a friend or as a parent. We play out all these different personalities within us. Then in our stage play, the characters wear costumes, and these are like the signs. These are how the characters or the planets, how they are flavored. So, you know, are their costumes bold? Are they outgoing, or are they shy, or are they reserved? You know, there's so many different words we can use here. And then in our stage play, we have the different stages or the different scenes perhaps. And these are pertain to the different houses I call in astrology. So the houses are the different areas of life that things play out. So that might be in your home life, in your career, love, health, relationships, everything is covered. You can really look anywhere in the chart for the answers. You know, there is a place to look in the chart for any area of your life. So that's what makes it so fascinating. And then we can see what angles were the planets making to one another. And then in our stage play, this can represent the different relationships that the characters have with one another. Are they tense relationships? Are they in flow? Are they in harmony? And how does that look like? And that is kind of the ecosystem that we have in our personality and how I like to describe astrology. Is that making sense for you?
That is an amazing description of astrology. I really quite enjoy that. It's usually I read some very dry scientific sentence about what astrology is. So yeah, this is amazing and easy for listeners to kind of put themselves into with those characters and the scenes and that. Fantastic. Now, when we look and so we're imagining the scene, there's a lot of actors there. We have the different things on stage. Where do we fit in? So how do these charts help us? Are these things set in stone? Like, is this okay? So that will be your future? Or are these things fluid? Can we use them to our benefit and our health and advantage? Or how does that work then when we read a chart?
Yeah, and this is the debate with a lot of people. It's like, you know, is our, we can also ask the same question in terms of, is our fate determined, right? Or do we actually have, you know, any control over it? So I think that's really like what we need to be asking first. And I believe that we have free will, all right? So we can look at the energies in our chart and we can say, okay, this energy here, this looks challenging, but what is it actually trying to teach me? What is the lesson here? Because I can look at all the things that are difficult, but if I look at the things that, you know, are going to help me or assist me, maybe that's the clue or the answer to what I need to know to get through this rough patch that I'm experiencing. So I believe that we always have free will. You know, our birth chart is a set time, right? And so in a sense, the chart is set. Like, you're not going to be able to change that because you'd have to go back and change the time of your birth or when you were born. But, you know, within that, I think we can express ourselves in so many different ways. And it's just how we choose to work with the energies that we have and which ones are strong. You know, if there's ones that we need to work on, what do we need to do for that? You know, and then embracing the ones where we do have strengths and really living into those ones fully.
Yeah. So we can use it sort of as a bit of a guide then going forward. And I guess with every decision that we make and with every turn that we take, there are more snapshots, because if we were to take the chart at our fifth birthday or at our 10th birthday, right, it'll be different again. So it is a path that we can forge then with this guide of our chart. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And what's really cool is that you can, exactly what you said, you can cast a chart on your birthday to get an indication of what this next year might look like for you. It's essentially capturing a moment in time. We can do it for anything, you know. We can look at the chart for the 1st of January 2024. It might give us some clues as to what's going to be happening for the year. And then we can also look at our chart in combination with the current energies. What is the current chart saying? You know, where are certain planets moving in our chart at the moment? What areas are being activated for me? And this is how we can see timing and get an understanding of why things might be happening at this time. I think this is really helpful because it really shows us that things move in cycles. And maybe if we're going through a challenging time right now, you know, there is in the future going to be, you know, a more enjoyable time. And, you know, we also need to equally know the opposite is also true. If we are thriving right now, there's also going to be challenge in the future. That's just undeniable, you know, like it's life. It's never going to just be smooth sailing.
Yeah. And you're right. It does move in cycles. I mean, nature sort of at its core is cyclical. So that makes sense that our lives also follow certain cycles like that. Now, when we talk about astrology and reading the chart, how do you connect that now with mental health? And have you used that for your own mental health? Have you played with that when you were experiencing challenges? And how did that experience go for you? What happened?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that I think astrology and learning astrology gave me was really just the ability to own the strengths in my character and also own the challenges that I have as well. And I could see in my chart, oh, okay, this angle or aspect or this represents why I feel like this or why, you know, this might be difficult in my life. And one thing that I talk about is my Mercury sits opposite my moon. All right. And so I'll give you a bit of a description of what this can mean. So the moon refers to our emotions. It refers to our inner world, the way that we sort of think about things and process things in our mind. Or in our sort of, I guess, subconscious, I guess, this is how we, you know, the moon equals emotions, it equals mood. It does connect to the body as well. Mercury, on the other hand, is the planet of communication. It's also responsible for short-term travel. It's responsible for writing, journaling, details, and technology to an extent. Now, when we have planets opposite each other, it's almost like they are, you know, if you think of you're sitting opposite someone when you, you know, you go for coffee. Now, if you're sitting opposite a bad date, it's going to be difficult, right? It's going to be hard. But if you're sitting opposite a best friend, it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to flow, right? So this energy can show up in either way. And for me, it showed up, I've seen it show up in this challenging way where, you know, perhaps I've learned information. This is Mercury. Like I'm taking on information in my mind and I want to communicate, you know, this deep dive. I've gone on a tangent or a deep dive into maybe aliens or UFOs or something like that. But then when I go to explain it, it just does not come out. And, you know, it's frustrating because I'm getting frustrated. I'm so emotionally invested in this topic, but I can't quite explain it how I'd like to. And so this is how this aspect plays out for me. But when I realize that, you know, if I just detach from the emotions a little bit. If I'm not so invested, then it might come out with a little bit more flow and I might be able to explain myself a bit more clearly. So that's, you know, a way that I have seen it play out in my life. I think is when I went on this first, my deep dive into astrology, what I really found so beneficial was it just gave me the acceptance to say, you know, or to understand, well, you know, this is one of my qualities. This is one of my characters. So I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm going to own it. And, you know, once we do that and step into that, then we really see where the magic can unfold and we see things come to the light as opposed to shying away or hiding back from them. Yeah, I've seen astrology like play out in my physical world quite a lot. And I have also mapped out, you know, times where in the past, you know, it's been difficult with mental health. And Mercury is a big player because Mercury is responsible for the mind. So times when Mercury might be being activated in a way that's not so comfortable, maybe these times that we experience depression, you know, anxiety is another great one. And I looked to the sign of Gemini because a lot of times when I speak to people who are Gemini moons. And, you know, I just mentioned the moon sign is that inner world. Gemini is very fast energy. It's very changeable and it's very up in your head. So if you think about your inner world being fast, changeable and up in your head, that's like constant overthinking. It's constant thoughts. You know, anyone that has a moon in an air sign, I'd say would have a lot of overthinking, which can lead to anxiety, especially if those thoughts are not geared in the right direction, all right? So this is the types of ways that we can look at astrology and see how these patterns unfold and things are happening in our mental health.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I'm a Gemini, by the way.
Gemini sun. Wow.
You're talking about me.
You probably have that, you know, you can probably relate to that quality of, you know, constant chatter. You know, Geminis are very social. They're connected to communication, right? There's no surprises to me that you have this platform and you talk to people because, you know, that's a very strong Gemini quality. And yeah, so you see that when people reveal these things, it's like, oh, I see. It's no wonder, you know.
It's funny. And sometimes we actually, when I meet new podcast guests, we try to guess each other's sign based on the conversation we had. And that leads to just really fun connections after. And a lot of the times we're right on the money. And I guess there are certain things in the signs, like you said, the communication. Some signs have a lot of energy and they love
Absolutely.
Talking on the podcast. So it's very interesting also when I get to know people, how those signs play often into the personality or how they appear in front of other people. So yeah, really fascinating.
When you learn the qualities of the signs, I think, yeah, you have the ability to do that. And I think what you're probably talking about the star sign, which is where the sun placement was. But then if you take it, you know, if you learn about the rising sign, this is how we show up. And this is often the one that we can guess very easily because, you know, it's the first impressions of someone. When you get to know someone a little bit more, that's when you see the qualities of their sun sign, which is probably why you're able to guess that you're unpacking something with them in a conversation. But straight up, we normally show up as our rising sign. So I would go and check that with your birth time to find out, you know, what yours is.
Yeah, that is really cool. So I do know my ascendant. Is that the rising sign?
Oh, yeah. The same thing. Yeah. Well, okay. The ascendant is the actual point. Yeah. So, and then that, you know, is labeled and the words sort of used interchangeably with the rising sign. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that one is in Virgo, which I think balances the Gemini quite nicely.
Yeah. I was actually thinking maybe you're a Taurus because you seem very grounded, but equally Virgo is an earth sign also, which is very grounded. And Virgos want to be of service. They want to help others. They want to fix things essentially. So this is a quality that, you know, the how we show up. And so, yeah, Virgo, it's the lightest of the earth signs because it has that mutual mutable energy. Like you've told me you've had the Gemini sun. This is that mutable energy. And the Virgo has the same. So that's about being adaptable, being able to do many things at one time, but also, you know, having to take care that you're not being here, there, everywhere, and getting caught up in this, like, you know, a million things at once type energy. You probably understand exactly what I'm saying.
A lot of Geminis can relate to that, I think.
100%. Yes. Gemini, Virgo, and Pisces are the mutable signs. And there's another one, and I'm just losing it. It'll come to me.
Yeah. And it's fascinating that we can weave this into our lives. So as we are looking at the chart, we are discovering our signs. I think it does tell us a lot about potential strength that we could take advantage of, especially if we're thinking of creative projects or career paths. And like you said, it can also actually point us towards potential things that we need to watch out for our mental health, because for me, the constantly being busy is something I really have to watch and ensure that I put enough self-care time in there to balance that in my schedule. So I think the chart can also be a bit of a guiding light when you're looking at maybe the year ahead or something, to say, okay, I'm very prone to being super busy. I need to balance that a little bit to make sure my body is okay too. Shows up in fascinating ways.
Yeah, I'll give you an example for this year and how, you know, we can use this energy. So we've talked a little bit about Gemini, and later in the year, Jupiter is going to be moving into Gemini. It's happening at the end of May. And so, you know, we've sort of spoken a little bit about the qualities of Gemini. It's fast, it's social, it's, you know, up and ideas up in the head, very communicative. Now, Jupiter is the planet of expansion, and it's also the planet of growth, good fortune, abundance. It's a very positive planet. But, you know, growth isn't always amazing. If you think of having lots of thoughts and lots of things to do, if you grow that leads to a very busy schedule. It can lead to overthinking. It can lead to, you know, it could be lots of opportunities. I think this is what we're going to see when Jupiter moves into Gemini. We're going to see the pace of life pick up. But what can we do with that? Well, in astrology, I've studied a little bit of medical astrology. And what's really interesting is that Gemini is the planet that rules the lungs, okay? It's really, when you see how things unfold, it's quite simple, because we go through the chart and Aries is the first sign. Aries rules the head. Then you come down to Taurus, which rules the neck. Then the body splits, and Gemini is the twins, right? They're split as well. It's the duality. So this is where the body splits, and Gemini rules the lungs, the arms, the hands, everything where the body is splits. We keep going down and you go through the signs until you get to the very bottom and the feet, which is represented by Pisces. I mean, this is just a very basic version. But let's go back to Gemini. So when we have all this happening and Gemini rules the lungs, I just think about what is on the rise at the moment. We're hearing so much about breath work, okay? And it's no surprises. So this is what's going to be really important for us when we are feeling in that Gemini energy, when things feel fast. We need to come back, and what are the tools? Well, Gemini rules the lungs, and I can actually control my breathing. And we all know I'm talking too fast, and it's like I'm talking too fast right now, and I need to stop and take a breath, right? And when we do that, it's just that one moment that can bring us back. I get excited. That's why I talk so fast. But this is how, you know, just one way that we can use the tools of the language and the knowledge and wisdom that astrology holds.
Wow. I love that. I didn't know that each sign kind of corresponded to an area of the body, but it does make sense, right? When we also look to Chinese medicine, where different things are attached to different organ energy cycles. So yeah, it's absolutely very, very interesting.
One thing that's really interesting about medical astrology is that there is so many correlations, because, you know, we hear of even like words, or like think of the symbols of male and female. That's represented in astrology in the same symbology that, you know, the Venus sign is that feminine sign, and same for Mars, all right? we have a part in our body called the solar plexus. And this is, you know, the solar, the sun, it's where our life force is. Okay. And then we have, you know, if women are talking about their menses, that's actually comes from the term moonsies, which is related to the moon, and it is related to the moon, right? So all these things did actually originate, and there is correlation. It just was lost as time moved forward. And, you know, there was many different renditions of astrology and many different things that happened, but it's actually coming into more into interview as we talk about it these days in 2024.
Yeah, and I think more accepted too. Many more Absolutely. People are learning about it and have access to it over the internet. So more accessible to people now as well. And so when we're talking about these different parts of us, the sun sign, the rising sign, do you ever work with clients who you talk about their chart and they say, Abby, that's not me at all. I don't feel that at all. Does that ever happen?
Yeah. And, you know, I do have people that, you know, they say, you know, I just don't relate to any of these. I had one lady, she came to me and she said, oh, you know, I just don't feel like I'm an Aries. And the first thing I look at here is maybe there's a challenging aspect to her sun sign. So maybe she has that opposition that we talked about, or the other tense angle is a square angle. So maybe there's a lot of energy that's like putting pressure on her in that sense, that she doesn't feel like she can show up as herself. The second thing, when we sort of kept talking a little bit more, was really interesting, was she sort of said to me, actually, I was born quite early. I was a couple of weeks early. And then, you know, we looked at what her actual due date was meant to be. And I said, well, if you were born at the time that, you know, you were meant to be born, that you were actually due, you would have been a Taurus. And I explained all the qualities of a Taurus. And she just was like, well, that's me. And so it's interesting how you can have a look and see people's circumstances and how things might have differed. And maybe she does have a lot of other energies in her chart somewhere. And even though that she is foundationally in her spirit, she is an Aries, it could just be really hard for her to express that, because potentially the things that she's been through and maybe the challenging aspects in her chart.
That is really interesting. Yeah, I never thought about that for people who were born prematurely or even late, how that would affect their chart and how they show up in life. Wow. Now, you work with clients on this, you do chart readings. So do you want to go over some of the programs and services that you offer so our listeners can get a feel of how they could work with you or how they could connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. So I do astrology readings, and if you have never had one before, I always recommend starting with a natal chart reading. This will give you that foundation, this blueprint. I explain the astrology, I explain everything as we're talking through it. If you've already had a natal chart reading or you know quite a little bit about astrology, then we can start to look at things like, you know, potentially uncovering a forecast reading. What's coming in for the next 3 months for me? What energies might I expect? Or even, you know, at the moment, I'm working with the energy of 2024 and I'm offering some reports for the year ahead. You know, what areas, what times are going to be good for me? What times might be ideal times to take a rest? You know, what areas are being activated? What is in focus? You know, we can have a look at these themes, and when we know them, we can consciously work with them. You know, this might be a challenging time. So it might be a time that would be good to take a step back or good to have a bit of a break. And when we know that energy is coming, we can work with it, right? I am also launching a course. And so I am going to be teaching people how to learn the language of astrology and how then they can actually read their own chart, so they can start to look for these things in their own chart and, you know, really start to use it as a day-to-day tool in their life to find the answers and uncover, you know, the ways that they can help themselves essentially to understand why things are happening when they are and potentially what they can do about it. I think this is a really great use of astrology.
Yeah, that sounds like a fascinating course. And Abby also has her own podcast called Secrets of the Stars, Exploring Astrology with Abby. And you can listen in from your favorite podcast provider. And we, of course, will be linking to all of Abby's offerings in the show notes as well. So be sure to check there for how you can reach her, how you can find out about her upcoming course, and how you can listen to her podcast. So if this episode inspired you, I really encourage you to find out more about your natal chart and maybe get some of the basics of astrology so that you can start to understand how these energies can play out in your life and your health, your relationships, finances, really any of the parts that Abby touched on. Well, this has been another incredible episode, and I really hope our listeners have enjoyed this journey into astrology and mental health as much as I have. I've been fascinated this whole time that we've been talking, and thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your wisdom with us, Abby. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun chatting with you. And I think, yeah, we've really only just scratched the surface there. Astrology is such a deep, wide, and vast topic. You know, you can go in so many different directions. So, and that's what I think is so fascinating about it. It's just, yeah, there's so much wisdom that we can uncover. So thank you so much for having me. It's been fun chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like there might be a few more podcast episodes in there as well in the astrology.
I look
more
forward
things
to that.
We can
yeah,
discuss.
I think so. Absolutely. I'd love to.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Abby, and take care.
Thanks so much, Petra.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.